Morning! So thankful to be here with you this morning. Thankful we get to come into this place. Amen? We come into this sanctuary no matter what the week has been, no matter what the week has given us. We come into this house to praise and worship the Lord that is consistent, that He is faithful, He is true, and He is right. Amen. Amen. Some couple of announcements this morning. Champions is launching a Sunday evening service today at 6. Faith Recovery. Wayne helped with this image, but Chris Gorgas, we were once dead, and through recovery, through Jesus Christ, we are now alive. Amen. So Amen. That service starts this evening at 6. So you're welcome to join us. Join the worship at 6 p.m. here at Faith. Some other things. On the back of your bulletin, there is a little QR code. If you're a visitor or have prayer requests, you take your little camera on your phone, put it over that QR code, and it's going to take you to a link. April worked pretty hard on this. Wasn't working proper. So if you have a moment, have a prayer need, or a visitor and would like us to know more about you, fill out that QR code. Pretty cool. It's pretty awesome. Other things. We're going to have a women's retreat September the 12th at 7. And there's going to be a sign-up sheet out in the overflow area if you would like to join us. It's going to be Thursday at 7, and then we'll have Friday together and Saturday morning and afternoon together. So really looking forward to that, and it's going to be a fun time for us girls. Girls only. That's what I'm going to put on the door. Okay? I hope that you're able to come, and we'll be able to spend time together with the Lord. I want to thank everybody for your prayers and your care during this week. I lost a dear friend, and those bittersweet times that we have in our life, it was bitter, but it was sweet, and that he knew where he was going, and he's with the Lord, and that's the sweet. Takes over the bitter. Death, where is your sting? We know where he's at. So I want to thank you for remembering Monty, and continue to keep Vanessa in your prayers. His services are going to be on Tuesday. Viewing starts at 5, and the service starts at 7. Just, you know, he was a faithful viewer, a faithful member online. He loved watching the praise band, and he loved listening to the word that faith. So big, he was a cheerleader. So, and any of you that would want prayer concerns, if you would like to be prayed over at the end of the service, we'll join together down front, and I'll pray over you, we'll pray over you, whatever your needs are, we'll meet them and with the Lord. Amen? So it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name Most High, to declare your faithful love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. How magnificent are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. A stupid person doesn't know. A fool does not understand. But you, Lord, are exalted forever. For indeed, Lord, you have lifted up my horn. I have been anointed with the finest oil, and my eyes look at my enemies. The evildoers rise against me, and the righteous will thrive like the palm tree. And let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this time that we're able to enter into this sanctuary, that we're able to set aside this time and just totally fix our eyes on you. Open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us this morning. And Lord Jesus, speak, for your servants are listening. I want to thank you for the praise band as they share their gifts with us each and every week, Lord, as they enter us into this time of worship and praise. and all the hands that have prepared the work of your church, Lord. Bless them. We thank you for them. But in this time and in this space this morning, you see each of us. We pray all collectively at this time that the Holy Spirit is welcome here, that there is a message for us. And it isn't just for us, it is for us to take up and take out. And that's our prayer, that's our cry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. What is praise, church? Praise is not quiet. Now's the time that we fill this sanctuary and the court of heaven with a fresh fragrance of praise. Amen.
Our greeting today is taken from John 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we believe in you, and we believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, rose from the dead, and that he's here among us, and he's here beside us, and he's here for us in this world of today. It's a scary place. There's all kinds of evil around. But if we stand on your promises and we stand in your word, you can lead us down the right path for eternal life with you. I believe in God our Father and Jesus Christ his Son. And now we ask you to bless these gifts. Allow it to reach out someplace, maybe not where it's expected, but someplace in your name so that we can bring others to you. So bless these gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was that fool who wandered and strayed. That's what it said, right? Did you know that Johann Sebastian Bach lost his daughter and his three sons and then his wife? Then he remarried, and he and his second wife lost four more daughters and three sons. 11 beloved children. Many researchers have wondered how Bach managed to handle these losses. He did not stop breathing or his heart stop from overwhelming grief. And most importantly, how could he continue to write such beautiful music? Some of the most beautiful music in the world has ever heard. Here's how he did it. At the beginning of his music compositions, he always wrote, "Lord, help." And at the end of the music compositions, he always wrote, "Glory to God alone." You could then consider Bach's music a conversation between man and God. How do you deal with suffering and pain and loss? Johann Sebastian Bach serves as a great example for us. Prayer and worship are the two best ways to find solace and comfort. Amen? It's a tough time in his life. But if you've ever heard his music, it's glorious. He had to stand on something. And even though those losses came, where did he stand? With God, needing his help and his direction, and then thanking him at the end because it was God and God alone who did it for him. So we need to take time, dig through the Bible, because there's all kinds of examples of those following God. Because they know that God and God alone is the only one that can get you through things. When there's sadness in the world, we need to turn to Him. When there's joy in the world, we need to praise Him. When we sing to the Lord, we see His light, right? I saw the light, and where did it come from? It came from the heavens. Amen? So let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible," and ask God to take us there, where we need to be, to follow Him. Amen? This is my Bible. It contains the Word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen.
I have a special person here. My Aunt Jan Wilson is visiting us this morning, and it's actually David's aunt, but she's mine. So if you get a chance, welcome Jan. I'm just glad she's here. We're kindred spirits, and we have a good story, a very good story. It was through Jan that I met David. She said that I was the reason why she came to work for the municipal court. And how special am I that the Lord said, hey, I want you to meet this person. I have a specific reason, and I've just blessed David's life. I told him, I said, I just knew you were going to love being married to me. I don't know why you took so long. But he does love being married to me. But Jan, my special person, is here. So if you get a moment, please welcome Jan. Thank you. So this morning we're going to be talking about how the Bible is a lot like a mirror. A mirror tells us a lot about ourselves, and the Bible tells us a lot about ourselves, if we let it, if we allow it to. And I'm liking mirrors less and less. I'm going to confess it. The older I get, the earlier I have to get up, I don't like it. And God bless David. I think God's kind of just put a shroud over his eyes because he still says, oh, you're so beautiful. First thing in the morning, I'm crusty. I'm swollen now in the morning. And my hair is all like, I got calyx and it doesn't look proper. It's like, hi, sweetie. You're just so pretty. Oh, I want to stop lying. I like it, and especially magnifying mirrors. Please. Younger people, just take it, just enjoy it right now. You look in those magnifying mirrors, hairs where they're not supposed to be, wrinkles and cracks, and why do people do that? Is that what they see? And you know that there are people that notice good, and you can tell that they're just looking at you. They're investigating you like a magnifying mirror, and I'm like, oh my gosh, did I check my nose before I got out of the car? I think I forgot that. I do. Like, oh, they're a noticer. They're a magnifying mirror. It's too revealing. You notice what everyone else might be noticing because sometimes you're in a rush to get ready, aren't you? Sometimes you just rush by the mirror. Check, check, okay, and you go. You're not looking to investigate. You're not looking to notice. You just got to do a quick check. And we get into that habit when we start looking into the Bible. It's a quick check. We're rushing. We get our verse of the day, and then we're done. We don't dig down into it. We don't want to get our magnifying mirror out and really take a look at ourselves. You're not looking intently for the flaws. And the Bible compares itself to a mirror in Scripture that we are reading this morning. And just as a mirror reflects what we look at on the outside, God's Word reflects what we look like on the inside. And it can be very vulnerable. There's some things we don't really like when we look in deep. And Hebrews 4:12 says the Lord's word is discerned. It discerns your hearts, thoughts, and intents. My thoughts and my intents, sometimes I really don't want other people looking at them, especially God. Sometimes that's too much for people. They come to that realization that they are fully exposed in front of God. That magnifying mirror. And they're afraid to look into that mirror of God's word and see themselves. So at 1 James, we're going to read James 1:22, just to get our minds set on where we're going this morning. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. We're to be hearers. We are to hear the word, but there should be an action after we hear it. It should be moving us to be doers. deceiving ourselves. When we only hear it, we deceive ourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and preserves it, it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works. This person will be blessed in what he does. Amen? So looking intently into a mirror. In Jesus' time, mirrors were made of brass, and they were polished. Sometimes they'd have to dent them down to be smooth. And to be able to get a good reflection of yourself from that mirror, you had to hold it and you had to maneuver it. You had to twist it to be able to get a good reflection out of it. And that is what we're called to do as Christians, as believers in the Word of God, is to hold up the Bible, hold up His Word, and maneuver it. You look at it intently, to be able to see what it is that he wants to reveal within us, about us, who he is in us, who he's called us to be, what his will is for us. In the first scripture of the Old Testament we're going to look at, it's Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 2 and 6 through 9. And this is Moses giving his instructions to the people of Israel before they're going into the promised land. It says, "Now, Israel, listen to the statutes and the ordinance I am teaching you to follow so that you may live, enter, and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You must not add anything to what I command you or take away from it so that you may keep the commands of the Lord, your God, I am giving you." And then 6 through 9, "Carefully follow them, for this will show your wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the people. When they hear about all these statutes, they will say, 'This great nation is indeed wise and understanding people.' For what great nation is there that has a God near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call on him? And what great nation has righteous statutes and ordinance like this entire law I set before you today? Only be on your guard and diligently watch ourselves so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen, so that they don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren." Moses instructs Israel to listen and obey God's commands without adding or subtracting from them. And when you look at the word and you're trying to, what we talk about, you have to maneuver it, you have to look into it without adding or subtracting. How easily is it we try to interpret what we want it to say? Anybody can do that. Seek wisdom is what he's saying. Don't twist it. Don't add to it, because we're humans. God knows that we're humans. We don't like to feel uncomfortable, right? And I'm so glad you keep coming back, because the last couple Sundays have kind of made you feel uncomfortable. You still love me, and I love that. The Word of God, sometimes it's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be nice, because he's a God that loves us so much. He's going to show us those rough spots in our life that he wants to edge off. He wants to smooth out. Don't add, don't subtract to it. God's word is perfect and it is complete. It doesn't need our help, because I'm a helper. Sometimes I think God does need my help. And every time I try to do that, every time I try to carve out my way, it makes it harder. I remember telling Pastor Jeff, I feel like a salmon trying to go upstream. I'm going the wrong way. I'm not flowing with what God wants me to do. I'm trying to make my own way up the stream. And then you can't. We're called to obey it without altering it to fit what we want it to fit. In verses 6 to 9, obedience in God's word will be a witness to others showcasing that we are a people set apart. Just like the Israelites, God's chosen people, he's taken them out of the slavery in Egypt and was taking them to the promised land. They were his people set apart for a purpose, his will. And when people look at us as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are to be set apart. We are to be marked. And it will be a witness. Our obedience reflects God's wisdom to the world. Does our world look wise? It doesn't take us very long. We pull up our phones. We pull up the news. Wisdom screams in the streets. It's crying out. It's not just about knowing the law, but living it out daily. We can have all the knowledge. We can memorize scripture. We can know the books of the Bible. But what good is that if we're not living it out? What good is it of knowledge if it's not being utilized? And that's an indicator of when we faithfully follow God's agenda, building his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Those who don't know him, they'll take notice. They're the magnifying mirrors people. They're looking intently at us who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. They're noticing the difference of how we approach life. They're looking intently. What is it that they're doing? And for some people, we will be the only exposure to the Bible that they will see, that they will read. They will read us. And we will be the only example of Jesus that they're ever going to have. His hands, his feet, his heart, and his mouth. Sometimes my mouth gets me in trouble, being honest. And I've got to check it. I've got to look in God's word where he says, do not let any deceitful thing come out of your mouth, Haley. Being witnesses, not adding, not subtracting. And so what's a characteristic of a doer of God's word? Psalms 15 gives us characteristics. Lord, who can dwell in your tent? Who can live on your holy mountain? The one who lives blamelessly, practices righteousness, and acknowledges the truth in his heart. Who does not slander with his tongue? Who does not harm his friend or discredit his neighbor? Who despises the one rejected by the Lord, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his word, whatever the cost? Who does not lend his silver at interest? That's talking about business. Your work is going to reflect God's character. What you do in your work, what you do in your career, where you at right now and what you do. Or take a bribe against the innocent. The one who does these things will not be shaken. The doer. Qualities of those who dwell with God has integrity, righteousness, trustworthiness. It embodies those qualities. It's about walking blamelessly, speaking truth, and acting justly, righteousness towards others. Being a doer of the word is reflected in how we live out our lives, including our relationships, and like I was saying, and including in what you're doing at work. Because sometimes we can compartmentalize our lives. We come to church, we have this part of our life, and then I go out and I be with my friends, that's a little part there, and then we go to work and there is no division in our lives. We're not one person and act one way, and then we go to somewhere else and then we're different. And we can't merely profess to love God, but we must actually walk the walk. Tina talks about that. Walk in the walk with him, before him, with integrity in our lives, and love God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind, and love people. Those are the greatest commandments. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your spirit, and love people. And I get it. Sometimes I don't want to love the people God brings to me. It's hard. I wouldn't particularly want to be around them, but there's a reason why God brought them here. And sometimes those are the times I need God more than they do. James 1:17-27. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Perfect gifts. What are the gifts you have in your life? What is it that you cherish and hold dear to your heart? Every good and perfect gift is from God. Amen. Coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. By his own choice, he gave us birth by the word of truth so that we would be kind of first fruits of his creation. And my dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Whoa. I'm going to repeat it. Quick to listen. He gave us two ears. Slow to speak. He gave us one mouth for a reason. And sometimes only one of my ears listen. My mouth wants to take over, but it says, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Wow. And sometimes I think it's righteous anger. Jesus got angry. He walked into that temple, and he even got a whip out and started whipping people. They had turned his sanctuary, his temple, into a house of thieves, and he was angry. I tried to twist it. That's me trying to twist God's word, trying to make it seem like I'm okay. I'm okay when I get angry. But see, that's just my flesh. That's my humanness coming into God's word and not like my reflection, where I try to twist it and manipulate it to make it look like I'm okay. I'm quick to speak, and I wasn't quick to listen. That's a pitfall. Therefore, ridding ourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Is there anything else that is going to be able to save your soul other than Jesus Christ, who is the word? But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and is not a doer, he is like looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and preserves in it, you abide in it. You look in it intently. You're a sincere seeker looking for that treasure that is in his word. And it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works. It should be reflected in your actions. It should be reflected in your love for others, in your service to the Lord. And sometimes we get impatient with people, right? Like we see them. They say they know Jesus. They say they know the Lord, but we're not seeing it. When we need them, they're kind of like the takers in our life, not the givers, or it's kind of an imbalanced relationship. Pray for them. They haven't yet matured. Don't give up on them. You continue to be the example of Jesus. Don't let that discourage you, because sometimes we do get upset, like, I'm the one doing it all. I'm the one doing it all, and they haven't got there yet. They still have to have that revelation in their heart and their spirit. You keep doing the good work that you've been called to do, and pray that they get there. And hopefully they do get there. Through Jesus Christ and his continued work in them. Amen. If anyone thinks he is righteous without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless and he deceives himself. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself unstained by the world. Pure religion. Keep oneself unstained from the world. We deceive ourselves if we only hear the word and we don't act. And the man who looks in the mirror, who forgets his appearance, a hearer who doesn't apply the word of God. But pure religion involves controlling our tongue, caring for the needy, remaining unstained. If you call yourself a religious person, our Christianity must be seen in our conversations, controlling our tongue, our compassion, our kindness, our conduct. It should demonstrate our control, talking less, but blessing more. If we truly have this relationship that we're longing for with Jesus Christ, it is to be pure expression itself in compassion and kindness. And in the time of Jesus, in this time in history where James is writing to us, orphans and widows, they were the most marginalized people in their societies. And then we look at our society today, the most marginalized people, that's who God is calling us to take care of, to show love towards, to show compassion to. Those who can do nothing for us. They can't give us what we can give them, because that's what our Heavenly Father did for us. Isn't it? Didn't He? Through Jesus Christ, we could do nothing. He already did it. We are to live in this world, but we are to live in this world. We are to live on this planet Earth. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we are not to be of this world. We're not to be stained by this world. And it ain't easy. I've said it before. I repeat it. It's not easy. If it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. Right? If it was easy, all the churches would be of one accord, have the mission of building the kingdom of God on earth as it in heaven, and our world, our community, the East End, the downtown Newark, it'd be changed. But it ain't easy. It's not comfortable. It ain't comfortable looking into the Word and having it reveal the vulnerability that we have, the heart of the matter. In Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him. They observed that some of the disciples were eating bread with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. And it was a tradition, a ceremonial washing tradition. And when they came from the marketplace, they did not eat unless they have washed. And there are many other customs that have been received and kept, like the washing of the cups, pitchers, kettles, dining at couches. And the Pharisees were angry. The Pharisees were calling out, you know, that you've abandoned the commands of God. And they were making Jesus and those that were following Jesus look like hypocrites, and that they were breaking God's law. And Jesus teaches that it's not what enters the body that defiles us. It's what comes out of the heart. Because they were also eating some things that were unclean. There's a rules and guidelines that the God had given the nation of Israel just to teach them between holiness and unholiness. That is not what makes you spiritually unclean. Ultimately, we are not made unclean by what we eat, by the food that we take in. We are made unclean of what comes out of our heart. And the Bible says, and guard your heart, for everything flows through it. Following traditions can't fix your sinfulness. You know, we have those memorized verses. Sometimes we have those memorized prayers. We have these things we think that it's going to make us righteous before God. It's going to fix our heart problem. It's going to fix our sin problem. Traditions, no. The only thing that can fix us, the only thing that can take away our sin, was what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Amen? That's it. Nothing you could ever do, nothing that you can ever achieve, is going to be able to do the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Nothing. And don't let anybody else tell you otherwise. Rachel, last week, was it Jehovah's Witnesses? Came and trying to tell her if she would accept their book, their rules, their laws. That was the only way she was going to get to heaven. And she knew enough She's like, no, that isn't what the Bible says. The Bible says Jesus Christ died for me. I mean, she told him, she's like, go on and get. Don't even try to talk to anybody else here. I don't want you even trying to spew what it is you're trying to sell to these people. You just need to leave. Told her she was going to hell. And I'm texting her in bold, capital letters. You know that's not true. You know you have given your life to Jesus Christ. That's it, period, point blank. There was no subtitles. And she knew enough. She's like, that's right, I knew. You stand firm. That's right, you knew. Because then it isn't just other religions. Our culture is going to tell us, if you buy this, you're going to feel better. If you follow this politician, you follow this Democrat, Republican, whatever. No, it's only through Jesus Christ. Being a doer of the word means embodying God's command in every aspect of our life. And we ask God to help us to not just be hearers, even though being a hearer is important, but we're also to reflect it in our walk, in our obedience to God, not manipulating the word to how it's going to fit. My mouth just wants to run amok. And if I twisted God's word, he'd let me. Not really. That's my flesh talking. Amen. So let's prepare our hearts for this time that we're going to join together in communion. Gracious, loving God, we come to gather around your table where we remember, we recall. And it's you who calls us to be the doers of your word to this world, to build your kingdom on earth that is it is in heaven, not to just be hearers. And we confess that we have often fallen short. We have hearing your truth, but not living it out in our lives. Yet in your mercy, you invite us where we find forgiveness and renewal. And we take the bread and we remember the perfect sacrifice of your son, Jesus Christ, who lived blameless, who walked uprightly and spoke with truth, that he got his hands dirty in ministry with all those that were marginalized, all those that society casted out. He ate with, he loved. And just as your psalm, Christ is the one who does what is right and never wavers in his integrity. And we drink this cup. We pray that the blood of Christ will cleanse us from our sin, empower us to live in the way that reflects your holiness. And may this act of communion draw us closer to you, transforming us to be doers, giving us spiritual food for our journey, and help us to keep our hearts pure, our hands clean, and to honor you with all we do, living out what we profess. We profess to be your people. We profess to be people set aside for your works and marked by the Holy Spirit. Help us to be able to reflect that in all our walks, in all that we do. And as we eat and drink, may we be transformed by your light to be the doers that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And that self-reflection, that's the time that we prepare before we come before Christ's table, the communion table, where we've fallen short, where we've allowed our tongue to run amok, where we have allowed our intentions to be bad. That's the time we look at ourselves before we approach the communion table. We ask, Lord, transform me to be more like you. Amen. You don't have to be a member of this church or any other church to be able to take communion. It is open to everyone, just like God's grace is open to everyone, just like Christ's forgiveness is open to everyone. And on the night that Jesus died, he took the disciples into the upper room and he raised the bread. He gave thanks for it and then he broke it. And he said, this is my body that's broken for you. Take and eat it in remembrance of me. And then he raised the cup, he gave thanks for it, and he said, this is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sin. Take and drink in remembrance of me. God, we have come to this communion table as we recalled what Christ has done for us, his death on the cross, his shed blood for the forgiveness of our sins. As we think of what he's doing in our lives, transforming us, transforming our hearts, transforming our lives. And as we look forward to his coming again in that spot, may you encourage us through the power of the Holy Spirit to be the doers, that we see ourselves in your word, that we see Christ, and that that motivates us within ourselves, within our spirit, to be more like him, to be the doers, to be his hands and feet where you call us to be his hands and feet. That we're not restrained by our own selfishness, our own selfish desires, and that we're slow to speak, and that we're quick to listen, not only to others, but your Holy Spirit within us that calls us to build your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And there is no building without working hands and feet. Help us to be reflections of you, reflections of your word, reflections of those people that are marked, that are set aside, that when we say we know Jesus Christ, that when we say we know God, that people see it. We can be pointed out that they're like, there's something different. When they get their magnifying mirrors out, that they know exactly what's different. Give us the wisdom to live out this life, Lord. Encourage us, strengthen us, because we know that it isn't easy. Oh, but it's sweet. It is so sweet to know Jesus. It is so sweet. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And don't just be hearers, be doers. You take that word of God, you look at it intently. That way, when everybody else out here in this world that we're trying to live in, when they get out their magnifying mirror and look at you intently, guess what they're going to see? They're going to see Jesus written all over you. Amen. I don't want them to see me because I'm not, don't look at me. Don't see me. I want them to see Jesus. See Jesus. Amen.